You are listening to a Nerd Room podcast production. We the Nerd. Bunch of nerds.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Nerd Room. We talk all things Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and beyond. This episode number 389, we're discussing all the latest news from the DCU and MCU. I'm your host for this episode, it's Tim, and I'm back at the microphone solo this week. Ian is off making the world a better place, leaving me to give you your weekly fill of nerd news. And this week, we are going to be focusing on catching up on some of the DCU and MCU news we've missed over the last month or so, covering different topics on the podcast. We like to do these catch-up episodes every once in a while and pick up on some of these smaller threads that we've glossed over as we covered some of the bigger things like the Super Bowl movie trailers, and then dove a little bit deeper into some tangential episodes, as we call them, discussing different things, including last week's AI co-hosted episode where I answered some nerd questions generated by AI. So go check those out. And I have to apologize here right off the top. I'm feeling slightly under the weather here today. My nose is a little bit plugged, and so my voice may be a little off tonight, but I find it so therapeutic getting behind the microphone. I just could not miss a week of this. And there's a ton of really cool little things that we can talk about this week. And we're going to kick it off actually with the 96 Academy Awards. That's a pretty wild number. And it was something that Christopher Nolan somewhat acknowledged in his acceptance award for Best Director, is that movies are over 100 years old, which is crazy to think about, that this medium that we have been consuming for so long, for our whole lives really, is over 100 years old, and the changes and how dynamic it's become and how different it is from the start to finish, but with the one consistency, and Robert Downey Jr. actually mentioned this, about this idea of telling important stories. And I think even still today, we're getting so many important stories being told. Now, whether that is the escapism of comic book movies or something like Oppenheimer that is revisiting historical events and telling them and giving them to an audience that maybe doesn't understand what happened in that era, in that time, and giving that story a new light. It's something that is quite wild, but I think it's cool that movies have this ability to expose another generation to something that maybe they wouldn't actually get to. And so movies are so important, and they're so important to us. And yes, the celebration of the actors and actresses across the couple of months of award season does feel like a little bit of self-patting on the back. But this one in particular, I always find interesting. One, because it's cool to see some of the different awards and hearing the speeches. This is, of course, is the biggest one. And I also love following our boys, Nico and Zeddy, over at Vigilante 1939, because they get so into it and so excited and just very passionate about seeing the right people get acknowledged for some pretty impactful roles. And of course, as expected, I think, Oppenheimer, a movie I have yet to see, walked away with all of the major awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor for Cillian Murphy, and Best Supporting Actor for Robert Downey Jr. And the thing I do love about this, if I can bring it around to the nerd space, is that Chris Nolan, director of the Dark Knight trilogy, Cillian Murphy, of course, played Scarecrow in those movies, Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. I think it's cool that we have such an imprint from the comic book movie space, where some of these guys cut their teeth and not necessarily, you know, made themselves, but, you know, Nolan was a big part of this, as well as Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr., especially Robert Downey Jr. And you see that as a consistent thread throughout the Academy Awards. Like, I'm not going to go through all the different awards and who got them and who this. Go over to the Vigilante guys or follow them on Twitter. They'll download you on all that. But you can see a lot of this pop culture threads weaving its way into the Academy Awards in a space where years ago they weren't really present. And yes, I am projecting a little bit from this space. The movies that won had nothing to do with comic book movie space, but everyone that is involved in them has a pretty strong tether to this space that we talk about every day. And so that's what excites me about all of this. You know, another big win was the Godzilla Minus One for Best Visual Effects. And unfortunately, Spider-Man did not win in the Best Animated. And you know, as we continue to go through the night, there's also some great references. Like, you had Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger jumping up on stage, making a quick twins reference before actually making a really cool connection to them both being Batman villains and calling out Michael Keaton, you know, who played Batman, of course, in those series, not in the Batman and Robin, but essentially the same thing in that sort of through line. But it was really cool that we got to see that little interaction, and Michael Keaton, again, just owning that Bruce Wayne space. I'd love to see him come back. I know The Flash didn't do great at the movie theater or at the box office, but I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed seeing Michael Keaton back in that role. I would love him to come back. I would actually really, to be honest with you, love to see Batgirl. You know, we've heard it's not great, but I think to see Keaton in that role again, in that mentorship role, and even his appearance in what was supposed to be Aquaman 2, and maybe a Batman Beyond. Like, I would have loved to have seen this. And this little tease we got from Danny DeVito, who of course played the Penguin, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who played Mr. Freeze. This little tease of the Academy Awards is a clip that really caught my eye. And I'm kind of wanting more Keaton in my life. Not going to lie. Not going to lie on that one. And of course, sticking with this through line, with this thread of the comic book movie imprint on the Academy Awards, we had John Cena coming out completely naked, or apparently completely naked, with a small board over his midsection there. And this is, of course, Peacemaker. And this was a joke celebrating, I believe, what is the 50th anniversary of the streaker, the peace sign streaker, who I can't remember his name, Robert something or other, ran across the stage. You can Google this at the Academy Awards, flashing, of course, the big peace sign there. And so this was a bit of a play on that. But John Cena, of course, being that peacemaker and continuing this imprint, I will say, or maybe forced or projected imprint from my perspective, on the Academy Awards. And that just got me thinking, seeing all of this stuff. One, some big actors have been very, very present, and creatives even, inside of the comic book movie space. But it also reminded me there's a whole bunch of little stuff, especially in the DC universes, that we haven't really touched on a whole bunch here in the podcast, and I wanted to get to those. And so we're going to go right off this Peacemaker thread, because that was a show that just blew me away. I love John Cena, and his new movie coming out, I think it's Ricky Shtinicki. It's on Amazon right now. It looks hilarious. I can't wait to plug into that. But he, of course, plays Peacemaker, and that show was, I thought, was unbelievable. It was wacky. It was wild. It was something different on HBO Max. And I'm looking forward to season two. And season two is something that the DC Studios co-CEO, James Gunn, the great James Gunn, he acknowledged that season two, of course, is going to happen. He has written it all. And he tried to, over on Threads, I believe, frame up where it sits inside of the new DCU. So we're transitioning from the DCEU, which ended with Aquaman 2, and we're moving into the DCU, the DC Universe, or whatever, I don't know what they're calling it, what that acronym actually means, must mean that. And so what James Gunn and company are doing, Peter Safran, their co-CEOs over at Warner Brothers, they're rebooting this whole franchise, and they're kind of starting fresh, and they're creating themselves a cohesive cinematic universe. And Peacemaker and all of his buddies are a James Gunn creation that exists inside of the former DC Cinematic Universe, the DCEU. That is absolutely no more. But Peacemaker and all of his crew will be making the jump over to the DCU, and they are technically rebooting it, but taking all the similar threads and characters and slotting it inside of the new DCU. So it will take place after the events of the new Superman movie that Gunn has also written, currently directing, and has kicked off production on. So that's kind of where that's going to sit. So he did, inside of that thread, try to clarify this idea that essentially Peacemaker season one isn't part of the DCU, but season two is. I don't really know how they're going to work all this out, but let's just say Peacemaker's in. Season one happened, maybe in some multiverse, very similarly inside the DCU. Now, Peacemaker itself, season two, is being shot at the exact same time as the new Superman movie. So what this means from James Gunn's perspective is that he's only going to be able to direct a couple of the episodes, and you will see other directors coming in and helming the material that he has written. And we're going to see like everyone from Adrian Chase to all of the actors that and actresses that were in it are coming back to all of that. So that's pretty exciting. And he also referenced the idea of Waller, which is a show that will build out of season two of Peacemaker. We saw her in the Suicide Squad that James Gunn also wrote and direct. And this TV show is apparently still happening with the same creatives in and behind it. And it's, I guess, because of the strikes happening a little later on. So there's a lot of complexities going on with the DCU. And that also includes the first animated show called Creature Commandos. So this is going to kick off the DCU, so James Gunn's new universe, in late 2024. And it's going to take place before this new Superman. I get right now that this feels very, very, very confusing. As I'm talking to it, I am confused. But what it looks like we're getting here is the kickoff to the DCU in late 24 with an animated series called Creature Commandos. So it is another group of misfits, of soldiers, of all these crazy characters coming together in animated fashion. That will kick off the new DCU. So all of the characters that we see introduced in that in animation are being voiced by prominent actors and actresses. Those actors and actresses will transition to the big screen in those roles eventually. That will then be followed up by Superman. So Superman is releasing on July 11th, 2025, and this is written and directed by James Gunn. This recently went through a name change that James Gunn stated that after he got finished the final draft of the script, he said it was not called Superman Legacy anymore. It was simply just Superman. He announced this on the first day of shooting, which coincidentally is Superman's birthday, which was on February 29th, 2024. So this is actually kicked off. And so there is going to be a lot of little details coming out about this new Superman reboot. Like, we haven't seen a solo Superman since Man of Steel, which I believe was in 2013. So we're over 10 years out from a solo Superman film. Now, we had Superman and Lois, I believe it was called, on the CW. We've had Superman, of course, appear in Batman vs. Superman and the Justice League and Zack Snyder's Justice League. So we've seen this character throughout the DCEU, but this Superman is meant to be not an origin story, but kind of picking up with a young Clark Kent and Superman dealing with his powers and living kind of this dual life, if you will. And it's kind of really exciting to see that this is actually moving forward. And James Gunn shared his first look at the big Superman S, the logo from the suit that is going to be donned by our new Clark Kent, our new Superman. And if I'm being honest with you, then you're going to have to go search this out on James Gunn's threads. That's probably the best place and only place for the DCU news. But the emblem, it looks really cool, but if I'm being honest with you, I can't really tell the difference between that and what was done before. I'm sure there's all sorts of differences and subtleties in color and design, shape, texture, all of that. But for me, it's all about presenting this very iconic symbol in the right way. And I really do trust that James Gunn is the right person to be bringing the DCU to fruition. My only holdback, to be honest with you, about James Gunn and Superman has always been this idea that James Gunn, at least from his growth through comic book movie and comic book movies in the genre, he's never done one a singularly focused character. And he's never done something that is a bit more on the serious side. Like, if we go back through his film repertoire inside of comic book movies, we've got, of course, the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy. We've got the Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, which are all ensemble films that depend on misfit characters interacting in a unique and distinct way and bringing those characters to life through very prominent character actors. And he's excelled at this. Like, unbelievable that Guardians of the Galaxy, Peacemaker, and the Suicide Squad all worked in the way they did without having super prominent Marvel or DC characters featured inside of them. Like, if I had told you 15 years ago that the Guardians of the Galaxy would be some of the most revered and well-known characters to the general public, including the likes of Rocket Raccoon and Groot, we would have called you crazy. Like, that's just not happening. And Peacemaker too, like, that show made no sense when it was coming out, and here we are having season two and it being again a highly celebrated show. And so he has the clout, he has the ability to create something very, very special, but I personally don't think he's ever taken on something like Superman. Superman has a very particular ethos to him, has a very particular look, and his movies and the composition of those movies are very, very different, at least in my personal opinion, than what we have gotten from James Gunn in the past. So this is going to be a very, very interesting test for James Gunn. Even if you contrast it to the two things that are sitting on either side of Superman in Creature Commandos and Peacemaker Season 2, like, those are two different projects that James Gunn wrote that are wildly different than what is going to likely come out of Superman. You know, I don't think we're going to, or at least from my perspective, I'm not seeing like a wisecracking Superman with a group of buddies that he goes to battle with that are all from these different walks of life or whatever. Like, this has got to be a very singularly focused Superman story where his relationship with Lois Lane is developed a much better relationship, and animosity between him and Lex Luger or something that makes a bit more sense than has been done in the past, at least in the movies, is developed. And really building the universe in and around, because this movie in itself has got everything from the Green Lanterns appearing, you've got Lois Lane, of course, and you've got, who else, Hawkgirl apparently is in this, Mr. Terrific. Like, there's all these characters that they're going to be introducing and using this as a real jumping off point, but it can't be used just simply as universe building, and I don't think it is. But I think essentially Superman has to stick the landing if this DC universe, cinematic universe, is really gonna fly. And that pun is 100% intended. Now, the other big news coming out of DC is, of course, that Batman 2, the Matt Reeves directed Batman, the phenomenal movie from a couple of years ago, has been delayed over a year, which is pretty wild. It's moving from October 3rd, 2025, all the way to October 2nd, 2026. So that brings it just short of a year in delay. Now, that's a bit heartbreaking, to be honest with you, because that's going to put us about, what, 4+ years since we actually saw Batman. Now, this isn't the worst thing in the world. Like, having time for this stuff to cool, resonate with the crowd, and then bang, here it comes. But the thing that gets a bit, I think, mixed up in here is the idea that this Batman is an isolated story. It's not happening or contained inside of the DC cinematic universe or the newly rebooted one by James Gunn. This is happening in Elseworld Tales or whatever you call it, Black Label, something to that effect. So that Robert Pattinson-led Batman has nothing to do with Superman. And they have another movie coming out called Brave and the Bold, which I do not think is going to maintain that title, because that, to be honest with you, that sounds like a soap opera. And it's bold and beautiful, but nonetheless, it's very hard to, like, the only, I think, Batman film with a Batman in the name is, of course, The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. So I think they really need to have Batman in that title in some fashion in the new DCU. But what this does is it puts that Batman, that isolated Matt Reeves Batman story, the Robert Pattinson Batman, much closer to what will eventually be the rebooted Batman. And it'll be interesting to see how much that matters to the general audience. Does it matter that they have two concurrent Batmans that could be coming out within a year or two of one another? That's going to be something for James Gunn to manage in the future. And I don't know why this sequel has been delayed. Probably something to do with the writer strikes, or maybe getting the script right. You know, there's rumors of Clayface being the main villain, with Joker playing a Hannibal Lecter style of role where Batman or Bruce Wayne goes to him for advice on potentially a serial killer that is more like a Leatherface or a Clayface. Those are some of the rumors that I've heard out there. But the DCU, although coming together, we're seeing spurious bits of this stuff being spun out and pushed off. Now, the Penguin show, which will be taking place directly after Batman, is set to release either in 24 or 25. It's been shot. We've seen images from it. And that's going to be the bit of the bridge in between Batman 1 and Batman 2, or the sequel to The Batman. And so we're going to get a little bit of our fill of the Matt Reeves Gotham through that show. But we're unfortunately going to have to wait, 2 years. Just less than 2 years until we get another Batman, another Robert Pattinson Batman. The good thing is that dude doesn't age, and so it's not going to really matter. But ultimately what this means is that 2025 in the DC world belongs to Superman. We're not going to have Batman and Superman. We're just going to have Superman. So it's going to be a really cool DC-focused year inside of 2025. And I'm excited to see where they go with this. And I'm excited to actually see the updates we get through James Gunn and what he's able to share inside of this universe. But that wraps that up. That wraps the DCU up for this week. Now, the MCU, we're just going to go a little tidbits on the MCU because, to be honest with you, we are kind of just waiting for Deadpool and Wolverine at this stage. And given that that's the only MCU movie this year, I believe, yes, and we're waiting into 25 to get Brave New World, so Captain America 4, Thunderbolts. We've got a couple of shows I'm going to touch on here in a minute, but it seems that the big screen is going to be the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. We talked about that trailer a few weeks ago. And of course, we're anticipating and looking towards 25 for Fantastic Four, Brave New World, and a few other big, big movies coming down the pipe here. Now, let's actually, what we're going to do here? We're going to quickly look at the slate. What's the Marvel Universe slate looking like these days? So coming out in July of this year, July 26th, we've got Deadpool and Wolverine. That'll be followed by in 2025, February of 2025. That's going to be a long wait between MCU movies. We got Captain America 4, Brave New World. That'll be followed by the Thunderbolts in May 2nd of 25. And then in July, so just over a year from now, Marvel's Fantastic Four. We had the cast announcement over on February 14th on Valentine's Day there. And we talked about that a couple episodes back. So go check that out. And as we move to the end of 25, I'm not sure this one's actually going to land. We've got the Blade reboot with Mahershala Ali. That'll be coming out in November. And then the only two other movies we got announced is one movie in 26 in May. And that is the formerly Avengers Kang Dynasty, which don't think that movie is happening in the same capacity anymore. And then in May of 27, we got Secret Wars. And so there's going to be a lot more movies that slot inside there. I will tell you that right now. And don't be surprised if Secret Wars gets split into two movies. We end up with a 27 and 28 release date. And we're going to need some real big builds here because I say, and I've said it before, there is almost at this point zero build towards an Avengers movie. You look at the build towards Avengers 1, towards Age of Ultron, and then, of course, towards Infinity War and Endgame. There was years worth of investment in building an engagement of a crowd to get to that point. These two Avengers movies, they feel like placeholders right now, if I'm being honest with you. And they got to do a lot of work to get us to believe and engage with a brand new Avengers team going up against whatever villain they put in front of us. And so don't be surprised if, one, those get delayed, and two, if there's a whole bunch of other movies that get slotted into this space. But another area where, and not just considering the big screen, another area where Marvel is focusing some efforts, and they have collectively pulled back on all this, but most of the stuff that we're talking about is either in production or was put into production during the big increase in content for Disney Plus, which they, Kevin Feige and Bob Iger, the head of Marvel Studios and Disney, have both said we're pulling way back on the Marvel content for Disney Plus. But two big, or a couple big shows that we are seeing coming up here in the next year or so is, one is Daredevil Born Again. And we've talked about the new suit, the back to production, the returning characters. But one character we have not touched on, we're going to, of course, see Foggy Nelson and the return of Bullseye from season 3 of Daredevil, but we're also going to get from season 2, and of course his own show, The Punisher, Jon Bernthal has seemingly confirmed his return to the role of Frank Castle and The Punisher from the Netflix series by posting a very on the nose reference to that character on his Instagram. So he posted a photo of a children's book called One Batch, Two Batch, which was heavily featured in his series inside of his origin story and ultimately the death of his family. It was a bedtime reading book that that character read to his daughter, and that daughter was subsequently killed. And the One Batch, Two Batch, Penny and Dime is a direct line that he would quote before killing people. And that is, of course, a reference back to a book that he would read to his daughter every single night. And the one night he did not read it to her and said he was too tired was the night she was killed. And so that's something he quotes in like this whole traumatic thing that he goes through every time he's killing people. And Bernthal has been very public in stating that he will not return to the character, or he will do everything he can to maintain that true comic book through line and adaptation that they did inside of the Netflix series. And I'm speaking towards the very violent pieces of it into whatever iteration he does emerge into inside of what is now the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has typically been very family friendly, but given the bridge that they're starting to build with the likes of Echo and potentially into Born Again and then potentially into having more Punisher, is that they could be nudging their way towards beyond even a PG-13, maybe more of an MA. And there's even talks of this coming out under the Marvel Spotlight, which is more of the adult version of it. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the MCU, which has typically been family friendly and avoided some of the very heavy violence, is going to walk this line of not breaking from what was done before, but also ensuring that it's accessible to the majority of their audience, which is everyone from young kids right through to adults. But it does seem that with Punisher coming back, there's definitely going to be some of those pretty heavy through lines into Daredevil Born Again, which I'm all game for. Like, if they want to continue this series in a meaningful way and have it push into the movies or have it interact in a bit more tangible way to some of the characters that we've seen, like Hawkeye maybe and Moon Knight, and doing avenues inside of there, even Spider-Man at some point would be really cool. Something in Spider-Man 4. So there's a lot of potential here, and we're seeing a lot of this cast returning, which I hope is a signal that with them returning, that they are maintaining these, or being true at least to the characters they developed in that Netflix series, and they're making only slight tweaks that, again, make this a little bit more accessible. Now, if we're continuing to talk about Disney Plus, because this is really where, outside of Deadpool and the Wolverine, where the MCU is going to reside for the majority of 2024, we got to talk about Agatha. Agatha. Now, that is the title. Now, this has gone through like three or four title changes. It started out as, I think it was House of Harkness, and then it went to Covenant of Chaos, and then it landed on Darkhold Diaries, and now the show is just simply called Agatha. This is probably the most changed name in the history of the MCU, and it's interesting because you can make a couple leaps on this. You can say they're trying to simplify this. You can say that there's a bit of chaos behind the scenes that no one really knows exactly what this is. And you can kind of also say, like, I think this is a tune in the show in WandaVision. It was Agatha all along. And so sometimes I believe too much into how purposeful some of this stuff is. But I think landing on Agatha, it just simply is just that. There's nothing more. There's nothing less. All of this other stuff seemed to try to tie towards some, like, a bigger, like, witch covenant and all this random stuff, like House of Harkness, Covenant of Chaos, all refers to this idea of there being like more witches, would be my assumption. The Darkhold Diaries, the Darkhold, of course, being the antithesis of the Book of Vishanti, is that right? No, that's, I can't remember. Anyways, it's the one that WandaVision has, or Wanda has, inside of Multiverse of Madness, that's kind of like the where dark spells and all that come out of. But anyways, Agatha will be coming out, I believe, later in 2024. And also, we'll be getting a couple of animated series. We're getting, of course, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which was formerly called Year One, I believe. And so that's an MCU story being told, I believe, prior to the events of Civil War. And we've got Eyes of Wakanda, which is another animated series that was announced maybe at D23 last year. And I'm not a big animation guy, to be honest with you, but I'll definitely be checking these out. But these are all meant to come out inside of 2024 at some point. And so there's a lot of MCU content, but not big, big MCU content outside of Deadpool and Wolverine, which, to be honest with you, is in the MCU, and it's going to have a lot of MCU references, but it's definitely going to be a transition point between the Fox stuff and the X-Men and what we're getting inside of the MCU. Now, last thing I'll touch on, it is just really a extension of the Disney Plus discussion, is that, you know, these streaming services, these streaming platforms were very much designed for the exclusive eyes. The content we have here resides here, and the only way to get it is to subscribe to this service. But that is slowly changing, especially as we come out of the pandemic era of production and streaming services, or well beyond that, but we're still seeing those repercussions kind of iron out here into 2024. But it looks like, and this started last year, that Disney Entertainment has kind of repivoted back towards physical releases. So Sanjay, you win, brother, because it looks like they've already released Loki Season 1 and WandaVision. They released them last year. And we are getting 4K releases and Blu-ray releases of the next swath of Marvel and Star Wars Disney Plus series. So we're getting Andor, the whole first season, Obi-Wan Kenobi. We're getting Moon Knight, as well as The Falcon and Winter Soldier, all coming out and really targeting the collector. So there seems to be a broader acknowledgement that the Blu-ray and 4K disc collectors are a relatively substantial, or have relatively substantial purchasing power, and have caught the eye of Disney. And so a lot of this stuff, my guess, is go in relatively exclusive packaging, steel cases, steel tins, whatever you want to call them. And this is definitely somewhere where they're picking up on a completely separate crowd. So it's going to be interesting to see if brother Sanjay jumps into this, because I do know that he put the resistance up to Disney Plus for a long time. I don't know if his family or children have convinced him otherwise, but this is something that I can see those collectors definitely picking up. And it does appear that there will be some extra content and documentaries on at least both the Moon Knight and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which do include some deleted scenes. I don't think we'll see these deleted scenes in Andor or the Obi-Wan. And I don't know if these are any different than some of the Assembled, it's called, I believe, on the Marvel side. And then maybe, I can't remember, maybe Legends or whatever. And then there's something on the Star Wars side where it's basically the behind the scenes. So I don't know if it's just a one-for-one printing of those onto Blu-ray discs or not, or if this is something a little bit different. This is going to be a bit more enticing for the likes of me to see some of those behind the scenes featurettes and documentaries, because I always like watching some of the stuff. I find that it does humanize a lot of the actors and creators, because you can actually see them speaking in the moment during their most like vulnerable creative period about these shows and about the efforts they're putting into this. And although sometimes we may be critical of them for maybe lackluster performances or things that feel off inside of that creative endeavor, I think watching these behind the scenes and these documentaries really elevates the experience, at least for me, because you do see the passion and the desire to create something special inside of these and inside of these individuals. So I always like checking those out, because it definitely does give me a better appreciation for the cast, crew, the actors and actresses, and the effort that they put into all of this. So I'm excited to see all this stuff roll out in a bigger way and to see things like this back on shelves. Now, I don't think Best Buy up here in Canada, which is kind of our, I don't know, yeah, they do have those in the States. That's kind of our electronics store. And so they used to carry a lot of Blu-rays and all that and the exclusive steelbooks, but I don't think they're selling physical media anymore. I did see the Mando Season 1 and 2 in there, but I don't know where these are going to land. Probably Walmart. They just started re-releasing or putting up like pop-up HMV stores, which is our kind of like record store. inside of Toys R Us's up here in Canada. So maybe they drop inside of there. We're gonna have to touch base with Sanjay here to see where these are popping up and see how they all turn out. The Steelbook cases all look pretty cool. I particularly like the Moon Knight one. It looks pretty badass. But all in all, we've got lots of really cool things happening in both sides of these universes. And we're really starting to see the ramp up of production inside of this coming out of the strikes, of course, coming out of the pandemic era. And this repositioning and rebuilding of both of these universes, both the DCU and the MCU. The DCU is starting from scratch, building up from what will likely be a pretty strong foundation inside of Superman and some of these other characters that they get to the big screen. And the MCU, we're watching them through their transition and pivot phase where they revamp themselves and try to shake off what has been a, not from my perspective, but I think from just listening to the majority of the people out there, a relatively hit and miss era of the MCU inside of phase 4 and part of phase 5. So I'm looking forward to see how all of these shows and all of this content lands in the coming weeks, months, and years. And it's, like always, going to give us something to digest and have some fun with here in the Nerd Room. So, guys, it has been another solo episode of me just running straight. Again, I do apologize if my voice is a little off as I am battling here through this cold. But I will be back next week. Hopefully, Ian is back from doing big things in the world. And he's able to sit down with me. And we're going to talk about, well, we're going to do a little bit of a prelude to, of course, Ghostbusters. And we're going to have some fun with that coming out next week. Very, very excited. And of course, we're looking at an Acolyte trailer. That's rumored to be coming out. Star Wars Acolyte. That's the next Disney Plus show. Skeleton Crew. Maybe Ian will have some thoughts on Dune 2 as well. I know he's checked that out. So like always, very, very exciting stuff happening here in the Nerd Room. And like always, I just want to thank you guys for coming back each and every week and just hanging out with me. Like always, if you want to be a bigger part of the show, you can always email us at thenerdrm@gmail.com. And you can follow us on socials at thenerdrm. And I guess like always, with all that being said, for the Nerd Room, I'm Tim. And thank you so much for entering the Nerd Room.